Alright, we're back here with another episode of Lady Witchbeard. When we last left off last week, where were we last week? So, me and Lady Witchbeard had taken brooms. First we had tried to get, what's her name? Marina. She was going to help us, figure stuff out, and then she vanished in the morning. She was like, "Hey, I think this is what happened." She said, "Yeah, sure, I'll help you guys out." She vanished in the morning. I remember at the beginning of the episode, there was a way long talk between me and Lady Witchbeard about the difference between a mission and a quest. I think we resolved that. And then Marina disappeared in the morning. Me and Lady Witchbeard said, "Let's just get ourselves to this pyramid in the sun." Or the palace, you know, the pyramid that was making all the noise and being built. We traveled by broom, and stick. I believe some sort of stick. I think tent poles, maybe, which we were using as brooms. We used powered by broom dust, which is not, it's a temporary witch bait, witch solution. You know, if their brooms are busted, their actual, professional made flying brooms, like kind of like a difference between a dustbuster and a super powered vacuum cleaner. Like the dustbuster, you get, this is a dustbuster in my memory, or a portable hand vacuum. Please don't sue me, Black and Decker. It runs a battery. You'll say, "Geez, I just started, it's the second pile I've cleaned up in 6 months and the battery dies." Same thing with the brooms. The cool thing is we would know. So we were stopping at the treetops, looking around. Landed the pyramid. Took forever to find the entrance. We found the entrance. Realized this is a pyramid. Pyramids are going up, but there's not a whole lot going on inside the pyramid. Went out of the pyramid. I mean, that like took forever. I mean, talk about lulling, soothing, pointless. Maybe I said, "Well, I think maybe it had something in there for everybody that was asleep." But then we came out, and then boom, Montezuma was standing there with his crew, and that's where we last left off. So we're back with another, back with Antonio. But were you in Montreal, Antonio? No disclosing Antonio's location. But Antonio is here, Antonio Banderas. With another episode of The Tales of Lady Witchbeard. Hi, 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 hi. I don't know about that one, Antonio. The Tales of Lady Witchbeard. Har, har, har. Close. Can we get one more from The Tales of Lady Witchbeard? You just nailed it for the people of Montreal. Sorry, we're going to be so happy with you. Thanks, Antonio. And I'll see you back in California. Oh, The Tales of Lady Witchbeard. I think the other one was better, but I love hearing you do anything. So, all right, I'll see you later. All right, we're back. He said it. All right. Hi, so Lady Witchbeard and I were standing there, and we were surrounded. I guess we were facing a large number of people, and they were gathered around, and they didn't look, is this a threat or not? And this man stepped forward, and I can tell you, as true as I can be, I can't, like, when I try to reconstruct what this man looked like in my mind now, as I tell the tale, not long after it took place, within the tale, but I guess I'm pulling you out of story before I bring you in to be, a little, whatever we call this, honest, I don't have an accurate version of what he looked like, or I have a recollection of him that's very clear that I'll express to you in the story. But I know, I said, is there just some kind of memory wipe went on? or selective memory? Was I not, you know, was I saying, well, I don't know. But this man stepped forward. And I think he was brightly dressed. But again, and there was something hazy about the day. I don't know if it was the sun or the temperature. Probably the fact that we just ran out of a pyramid because I had created some false narrative in my mind and convinced Lady Witchbeard that we're in Raiders of the Lost Ark and that the temple doors were closing, sealing us in. And then we were looking at the sun. But I said, man, this guy is brightly dressed. And he looks kind of like a plainish, but some air of authority. And he said hello, and I said hello. And he said, you can call me Montezuma. And I said, you can call me. And I said, how about Monte. And he said, you must be the amoeba. And I said, I'm sorry. He said, I wasn't sure. He said, you must be bacterium then. He said, I wasn't sure if it was amoeba or bacterium. And you're phage. Do they call you phage? And I said, yeah, go ahead, call me phage. I looked over at Lady Witchbeard like, one of those looks you give people, pretty common look, you know, you're standing in line, standing somewhere, someone starts talking to you, a bit out of left field is the polite way to say. You say, oh boy, that was what the look said. Oh boy, did this guy just, they say, he must have the wrong people, clearly. He must be, and he said, phage, are you, he goes, you're here from the space, you know, the space of folded papers. And then I said, okay, luckily, you know, I had Interstellar on the mind, you know, this whole story. It keeps, so I said, oh, that's the scene in Interstellar, he must be, and I said, okay, he is talking about me, unfortunately. He said maybe he watched Germ, the reboot, because, you know, so, and I said, oh, well, don't just go with it. I said, yeah, pleased to meet you, you know, phage here. And he said, oh, that must be one of your famous jokes. And I said, well, obviously, he's got an inaccurate version of me. And then he kind of did a little bit of a flourishing bow and took Lady Witchbeard's hand, which she swiftly removed and then returned. And I said, ooh, Lady Witchbeard's playing a little a game with this guy. And he said, this must be the mustached queen. And boy, I mean, I guess I can't do it justice because this is a sleep podcast. And I don't really have, you know, a reasonable laugh. But, I laugh a lot harder when it's really, you know, an uncomfortable situation. I think I talked about this one time. And it's weird because I can think of this. I just heard from this person that listens to the podcast with his wife that I went to school with, Mike and Mike H. And I can remember one time I was going to scare one of his roommates and I hid behind a door. And I had the guy dead to rights. I was going to scare him. I was hidden in his room. He walked in. He was talking to somebody. I don't know if anybody else even knew I was there. It wasn't like a practical joke. And I cracked up. I told, like, no way this guy wasn't going to get, and I couldn't, because it was so uncomfortable. And so I was cracking up. But this was funny. He said, you must be the queen of, what do you say, the queen of mustaches? Oh, the mustached queen. The only thing that would have made it funnier if you said mustachioed, which I never know what that means, but I've seen that, you know, mustachioed. Maybe he did say that, but whatever, I was laughing. And Lady Witchbeard was not laughing. And then he said, he looked at me, and he gave, like, one of his assistants the look that I had just given Lady Witchbeard previously. I mean, which is dead on for me. It's like, oh boy, this guy is, you know, this is the germ or the phage, as they were calling him. And I said, the phage ain't half bad. the phage, if it's the phage, phage, okay, but the phage, like the, I guess because the fonz maybe, the phage, I'm the phage. Maybe I should get into, contract out to do specials for, you know, bacterium-based museums. They say, well, geez, we need somebody to do the first draft of the animated stuff about bacteriophages. I'd say, boy, you got the right person for the first draft. And then bring in the scientists. And then the we don't need, we'll hire actual comedians for the third draft or writers. But, you know, they say, you know, anyway, the phage. But he said, you know, the queen of mustache, the mustache queen. And then he said, buckler of swaz. And I said, oh, man, that is smooth, too. Buckler of swaz. And I said, isn't a swaz, is that like something above a word? Or is that in English, you say swaz? And I said, that is a sweet sounding thing. Swaz. And I said, well, rico suave. But I know that's different. But he said, welcome. And I said, yeah, thank you. And I said, you could just call the queen here, Lady Witchbeard. You know, that could, before, Lady Witchbeard, it was so out of normal. She wasn't actually irritated. And I think she kind of shut down her irritation for the best interests. And then she stepped forward and she said, thank you. Yeah, so Lady Witchbeard will be fine. And don't call him the phage, just phage or germ. And he said, ooh, germ, so much better. He goes, you look like a germ. And he was serious. He didn't mean it like he wasn't joking. Like you say, oh, Patrick, you look like a Patrick, you know. Jerry, yeah, you, no doubt you're Jerry Cruncher. One time I went to the Dickens Fair as Jerry Cruncher, but I said I was a phrenologist instead of what Jerry Cruncher used to do. But you know, one of Jerry Cruncher's jobs. But yeah, he says Jerry Cruncher, phrenologist. But anyway, he said I looked like a germ. And he said, you've been sent here to help us. And I said, and the lady Witchbeard was doing, I tried to go, and she put her hand up. And she said, we're here to try. And he said, and to help my people, and the people of the world, we're so weary. We've been waiting for the help we need. And he said, come with me and I'll explain more. And then we went with him. And for a moment, though, right before we moved, time seemed to slow down, as it does for me sometimes. And I looked over the line, and I didn't realize the stretching. There was, you know, there was hundreds, maybe thousands of people, of old Manas people, Monte's people there. And they just seemed so, they had these, they seemed like he was their leader and he had told them some really good news. But they also seemed very proud and strong, not in just physical strength, but like they had endured so much. And when he said they were so weary, they had, there was a sense of weariness just under their eyes, but a sense of like, that they hadn't been worn out. Like, they were weary from whatever had been going on that he had referred to. But that they were strong, strong people. And they still had plenty left. And they were beautiful people. Beautiful. Oh, beautiful people. And he said, so come, let me... And I said, well, I got a lot of questions, too. Monty, is it Monty all right? And he said, is Germ all right? And that was a joke, I think. But I was like, well, geez, I'll take... If I can call someone Monty... I was always waiting again. I said, there used to be... I said, and then this was what I was saying in a conversation, too. Because I said, I always wanted to call somebody Monty. So that would be great. Because I don't really like Germ, but you can call me if I can call you Monty. And he said, I think he was on the show where people dressed up funny. And he looked over me and he said, you're dressed... He said, my lady... You look beautiful, Buckler Schwaz. And then he brought us into this great, great building across the way from the pyramid. People lined in. welcoming us with silent, welcoming eyes, where you could tell, you say, geez, these people aren't, they don't look like they're going to double cross me. They don't, but he welcomed us, and we went into this, and I said, well, gee, is this the palace in the sun? Because they notice a lot of gold, a whole lot of gold around there. And they said, oh boy, we're going to have to. And he said, this isn't, and I don't get the gold fever, I'm lucky. But I said, you get a, was it a, I forget if it was a, you know, a Bugs Bunny or a Walt Disney character that would get gold, maybe it was Donald Duck, but that would get gold fever. I'm not sure. Or maybe all of them, maybe Chuck Jones had his own, I don't know, that we you know, see gold, but there was gold everywhere. And I said, this is a palace in the sun, without a doubt. The sun was shining, the gold was glinting, the gold was reflecting onto the gold, onto some stone. There was gilded, there was facets, there was I'm pretty sure there was some refraction. I'm pretty sure there was some refraction and some reflection. And I even did a little bit of reflecting under my chin. And I said, you know, I guess I got caught. I said, does she love me? And I said, lady, which way, is it gold under my chin? If so. And I said, dude, I said, is it double gold? But, you know, both these. And he said, come along, Germ. And he brought us down into the palace, and there was this great entrance hall, some natural golden light streaming in there. And I got the sense, I said, this place is pretty nice, but it reminded me also, I said, there's something familiar about this. Not that I've been to that, but the layout. I said, you know, great, great, wide, tall lobby. I said, this is like a lobby or a hall. I wanted to say a hall, though. And then he kind of pointed to his right, my left, me, and he said, come along. And Lady Witchbeard says, what is this? And he said, within this hall are the secrets of the world. And I said, well, that's, I said, holy, I said, this world or all? And he just patted me, said, ah, germ. And he said, let me show you. And we walked into this room, and again, it was a smaller, I would still call it a hall, but not like a hallway. But you'll get the idea real quick, because I guess I didn't know what to expect when you say the secrets of the world, you know. I said, okay, is it going to be a bunch of people telling me the secrets, written? And I said, well, probably written some scroll-based action. Maybe stone tablets, you know, as I was quickly, and I guess this is the germ talking, so, you know. And, but we went into this hall, and it was, again, big room, but along the rectangular room, stretching further than the eye could see, but along both walls of the room, you know, to my left and to my right, stretching down seemingly endlessly, as I said, were, I don't know how many people have been to a natural history museum. They don't change, you know, it's a natural history museum. I mean, I've been to one in San Francisco, New York City, probably a few others, and I can say without a doubt that they're great places. This is not a knock on natural history museum. I mean, my brother works at a museum that has a natural history wing. And anybody who's seen Night at the Museum, if you haven't been to one, you know, this is going to fill you in on part of it, is these giant life-size dioramas, or you've been to old school aquarium where it's like a giant diorama, like a giant rectangular seeming window onto a vista. So it looks like you're looking through a giant picture frame. We're talking a picture frame like 10 feet tall, 20 feet wide, and you stand there and you see a scene. Usually there's not any motion. But and that's when the movies Night at the Museum and the sequels spawned by that movie. You know, a lot of those dioramas, the full-scale ones and the non-full-scale ones, came to life in that movie. And I said, well, this is interesting. But then I noticed, and I said, well, maybe it's an aquarium, because I said, well, geez, there's not like the American Plains or something, you know, with with stuff from the American Plains. That was just my, I said, I got the sense this was a natural history museum. But then as I started to look, I said, well, because I seen one like, and I said, well, yeah. And then the first one, it was far away, and I said, oh, maybe it's glass. Because and then we got closer, it was glass. I said, oh, okay, maybe it's like an old school aquarium, which is similar. It just had, old school aquariums were like a home aquarium, but gianter. You know, instead of having the ones that are two floors with the coral reefs and stuff, the real cool ones, they would just have the fish in it and say, well, gee, bigger fish, bigger aquarium, but same rectangle. And that was always set up in my time, my few trips to these places, or maybe I just imagined this stuff. You know, it was set up just like a natural hit. I said, well, geez, that makes sense. You know, nice, predictable layout. Here you got real fish. There you have fake historical or, the bison, you know, or whatever. But so this first one we got to was glass, and I saw all these different colors. I said, oh, maybe this is some coral reef action. And again, I guess the old germ brain's a little slow in saying, dude, this is not, you know. But then as we got closer, he said, here. He goes, this is how I know everything about you. And then it took a while, and he was silent. And Lady Witchbeard got close, and she was running her finger up and down the glass. And we're talking about a 10 by 20 piece of glass. And behind it was all these lines of color. And then I said, wait a second, is this sand art? And Lady Witchbeard looked at me, and she said, I think it is. I said, is this sand art? And the guy, he just smiled. And I was looking at it, and it was all these bands of color. And, you know, Lady Witchbeard, it's not like she's been living in a cauldron her whole life. She said, Jerem, this is... She goes, did you ever do... I said, Lady Witchbeard, did you ever do this in a bottle? And she said, yeah, arts and crafts time, yeah. And she said, actually, we would do this in potion, one of the potion classes I took, just to demonstrate the... And I said, that is brilliant, Lady Witchbeard. And she said, yeah. And we got sidetracked. And she was telling me, yeah. She said, you know, liquefied newts... You know, and she said, plasma, you know, not pure nude. You know, that would be, you know, a lime green. And then she said, wolf's bane, you know, would be able to, and I said, what, and she said, germ. And she said, it would be more of a sage green. And then I started to notice that some of the layers, and I said, man, there's a lot of colors in here. And then Monty Hall, right? That's the guy I was thinking of. But he was standing up again next to me, and I said, "What do you? Is that a burnt umber?" I tried a little Crayola comedy, you know. I said, "Is that a burnt umber in there?" And then I said, "Man, I should have thought of some Crayola Game of Thrones jokes. Did I ever make any about that?" I said, "Probably I did." And they said, she said, yeah, you know, I've always preferred, you know, the forest greens myself. And now, look, I'm hanging with Lady Witchbeard. And he said, well, this is Lady Witchbeard's story right here. He goes, that's why. And there was something that looked like a mustache, but it could have been a beard. And I said, oh, man, I said, and Lady Witchbeard was really studying it. And I said, yes, she said. He said, I was still working my material. I should have been more in the moment, but I was like, you know, I remember the old... I said, how come nobody's, like, competing? Like, isn't Crayola a monopoly? And I said, I know there's been a couple of companies that have tried to make a move on Crayola, but they've never succeeded. And I said, I think it's the Crayola boys, right? Right, Monty? And he didn't know what I was talking about, of course, but I was, you know, I was already in my material here. Some would call it raw, non-materials, or just stuff. But I said, hey, the main Crayola brothers, I think. And the one guy said, we're not in the crayon business, we're in the color business. But then the other brother, he said, that was, I think, Larry Crayola. And then he said there was Barry Crayola. He said, no. We're not in the crayon business or the color business. We're in the wax business. And then he said, no. The other brother, Larry Barry, I think it was Zary, maybe. That's an interesting name for a Crayola, Zeri Crayola. And he said, no, we're not in the wax business or the color business. We're in the packaging business here, you know, look at this. And then, you know, the last brother, no one knows his name. He said, no, we're in the art business. And then we know that nobody's doing, you know, crayon. I said, I would love to get some crayon art, some quality crayon art, you know. But, and then Lady Witchford said, germ. And she said, I think this is you. And I said, Lady Witchford, is the sand moving or is it me? And then Monty said, come on. And I said, well, I'm trying to figure, Lady Witchford's trying, and she said, germ is too, and I said, you had to interpret this and then interpret it into your language and then into our language? He said, yeah. And I said, oh, no. I said, you did really good. And he said, I've been exposed to this for a very long time, germ. Or should I say phage? And then we went to the next one, and it was all dark. And then I said, okay, this is why I thought it was an aquarium. I said, this has got to be the one with the deep sea fishes, you know, the deep sea, the ones that glow in the dark, that have the dangly things. And I was waiting for my eyes to adjust. And I said, is this the glow in the dark fishes here? Are they going to tell us? And then I said, no. And then I thought I saw some grays within the blackness, shapes changing. And Lee Witchbeard said she said she saw nothing. And Monty, he said, there's nothing in here. He goes, this one's always... And I said, I think I see something here. And he said, do you? And I said, I'm not sure. And he said, I might have floaters. It could just be floaters. And I said, one second, back at the sand, I said, have you ever thought about... And I said, and I said, never mind. And he said, well, what? Get off your chest. I said, a woman. He said, how come that people never use sand art? Like, they could have been one of the first supercomputers. I think about all the little grains of sand and the bands, and you can change. And he said, Jern, do you realize how hard it is to interpret that stuff? And I said, okay. And then I said, wait, does he know what a suit? And he said, what's a supercomputer? And I said, okay. And he said, do you see it? And I said, I don't know if it's floaters or I'm seeing things. And I said, you know what floaters are? He goes, no. And I said, well, Lady Witchbeard? And she goes, come on, germ. And I said, well, I never know. Like, I know some people say floater. I said, people always say what floaters are. I can never remember. And then I always say, well, that's not true anyway. I heard on Snopes it was, just pollen in the air or water in the air. And someone said, well, no, it's blood vessels. I was like, or scratches, but they had already moved on. And this one was a natural, it had a bunch of elk and stuff, but then they started moving. And then I noticed, they said, geez, the colors are a bit off. There's something they couldn't quite nail down. And he said, this is why we're so weary. And I said, you guys got an elk problem. I said, I'm real confused now. And then Lady Witchbeard said, no, germ, interpret. And I said, okay. And then I noticed one of the horns, one of the elk, or I don't know if they're antelope, but to be honest, I just called them elk. I would have wanted to call them tool elk for some reason. Yeah, like, you know, tool elk sounds good. But one of their horns turned into a question mark, and then another one. But then they started running, and then they were being chased, and then they were butting heads. But then, like, one would sit back, like it was like a surrealistic dream. Or, well, I guess dreams are, but like one would like be sipping tea, and then its horns would be. I said, is that a telegraph? But then he said, no. He goes, that's a branch, germ, tapping. And I said, okay, we're seeing this through different, windows, cultural or whatever you call them, like windows of the way I see the world, but worldview windows? I don't know. And I said, oh, maybe that's not tea. I better not confuse Monty too much. Just dealing with me is confusing enough. But then and some of the elk were sleeping, and I said, are they sleeping or not? And it was all like a weird dream. None of it, I'll be honest with you, none of it made sense to me at all, at all. And he said, here, I think this will explain it better. And we went to another scene, and it was a woman, and she was lying, and it seemed to be one of Monty's people. And she was lying there in what looked to be like another life scale diorama, or I don't know what they call it, exhibit, I guess they may call it, professional people. And she was lying there in bed, so at first it looked still, but it wasn't like they were coming to life, it was just like dreamlike, I guess, is best for real. And this was super dreamlike, because she sits up in bed, and she wipes the, and I mean, I guess maybe a cot or a stack of blankets, I don't know, let's not get caught up on semantics, or you know, historical bedding, because I was not paying good attention. But she sat up, and then she swept the blankets or the, you know, whatever she was sleeping under, hides or whatever, aside. And she looked down, and where her foot would be, was a fruit. And I said, is that some sort of melon? And then I was like, is that an avocado? And she was looking at it the same way. She was like, it was like her, everything was normal, but her foot and maybe like her ankle area was replaced by something the size of, bigger than a foot, but not even in a, it looked perfectly natural. I mean, it wasn't a skin color, it was a kind of a dark, I said, we could use the Crayola boys to describe this color here. I said, Jesus, because I don't have total Crayola callback, but I said, this is some forest green or something, this fruit, and she tapped on it, and she was just like, seemed totally vexed, like looking at her fruit. And she smelled fruit foot, and then she smelled it, and it must have smelled good, because then she said, she kind of looked around the room, and then she went and she went to take a bite of it. And when, as she opened her mouth, she went to bite into it, she realized she had no teeth. And then she put her hand in, and she was totally freaked, you know, just like, you know, it was like we were watching someone in their dream. And then she was like, I have no teeth. You know, just in the, like feeling her mouth. And then, but then she went and she went to bite into it with her gums. And it opened up a hole. And then streaming out of the hole, or I guess more floating or streaming out of the hole, were like, you know when you blow the dandelions that turn into puffballs and they float, the little seeds, and they started floating out of there, but she seemed like, I mean, obviously it was her foot, and it was supposed to be a fruit, and then there's dandelion puffy seed floaters coming out of there, and she seemed totally freaked by that. And we moved on, and I said, whoa, and yeah, Lee Whisper said, what was that? And he said, that was the pyramid. And I said, what in the name of B.F. Skinner is going on here? And Lee Witchbeard said, Gestalt. And I said, you know, Gesundheit. But I was kidding, of course. And I said, is it Gestalt or Gestalt? And I said, which part is the pyramid? And he said, don't worry, Jerm, I've been doing this a long time. And I said, okay, the pyramid. And I said, okay, well, you know, I dream a lot. So I said, okay. And I tapped my head. I said, get processing, boys. I said, subconscious, wake up the, you know, whatever the heck you get. I don't know, is that the, I get my terms, I said, get working. You know, get young to fire up the collective. We got to figure this out. And, you know, double check this clown's work. No offense, Monte. And he said, Monty. And I said, you got it, buddy. And I said, Lee Whisperer, and she said, she shrugged her shoulders. And then we went on to the next exhibit. And he said, let me explain this to you, because this one, again, was a diorama. Again, looked like something out of what we had seen since we had arrived on the shores there of indigenous people. It looked to be in some sort of communal gathering spot. And there was a family there, and then there was all these other people lined up holding things. And he said, because this is kind of like our traditional gift-giving ceremony. And I said, like Christmas? And he said, I've studied you, Germ. No. And I said, like a baby shower? Are they having a baby? You know, and he said, it's a traditional, you know what a gift is, a traditional gift-giving ceremony. And that time he seemed a little irritated with me, and I said, okay, enough said. So I was just looking for some clarification. And then Lady Whisperer says, how much more clarification do you need, Germ? And I said, oh boy. I said, thank you for the gift of criticism, both of you. And we started watching, and people would come in and they would give the family a gift. And I noticed it was like, and I don't know what TVs, I know they're working on all these different TVs nowadays, because they say, obviously if you're in the TV business, you say, Jesus, and I don't know when they refine this. They say now, well, buying a TV every 10, 15 years, that doesn't work for us, you know. But we don't want to make crappy TVs because people get mad. So we got to come out with some new stuff. So they tried 3D. We talked about that recently. And then they came out with HD, and then 3D, then 4K. And then as far as I can tell, they're done. You know, 6K and 8K are already done. But we just don't got any content, and you know, a little bit of 4K, but not really. And then they're saying, well, geez, let's do Ultra HD, which I think is still 4K, 8K. And then they're saying, well, geez, that's not, you know, the 4Ks didn't sell enough TVs. Let's try HDR TV. And this seemed to be all of those things, but it was, you know, I guess it was IRL-ish. And I said, I don't know when they're going to come out with that. You know, they said, geez, forget HDV. This is IRL light, you know. IRL close to real life, you know. They say too close, you know. I mean, at some point that's going to be the case, maybe. But anyway, so what was my point? My point was, as they would give gifts, we had close-ups, and it was still like this dream-like situation where they would give it, like they'd give the family a blanket, and then the blanket would turn them into like syrup. And they would spread it on a cake and eat it. And then they would start talking in what seemed to me to be French and laughing. And then they would do something that looked like a dance on one foot. And then, someone would, you know, streak across. And then another gift would come. And it would be like a toy for the children. But then something totally random would happen, like the toy would stand up and become a teacher and say, ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba. And then someone would start kissing the toy, and then someone would say, wah. And then someone, their clothes would disappear, they'd be nude, and everyone would be like, and then that would be, and then someone else would give another gift. And I said, okay, this gift giving is getting, and they said, one more, Germ. And all of a sudden, all these villagers came in. They were carrying this giant, what seemed to be this giant tube, and it was so heavy, and they were struggling with it, and it seemed like the kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, it started to rain, not just I noticed it was raining, I said, what is that candy? Some candy, and then people were sticking their tongues out. And I said, this is too weird. And I said, is it raining in here? And I was like, man, this is weird, weird, weird. And they were, but to get back to the main point, they were struggling to get this thing in the room. And they were carrying it and carrying it. And then they dumped it on the floor in front of the family. And it just looked like some sort of, like a 18, no, probably like 80 foot long pillow, but that it was filled with like a sandbag pillow or something, but you never want to carry it. Like, it's so annoying. And then they dropped it on the ground, and the family all started singing and bowing and dancing and laughing, and they just seemed overjoyed, and then everyone left. And then we went on and we actually took a turn, and we exited the exhibition hall, or whatever you want to call it, the Secrets of the World Hall. And there was plenty of other stuff to look at. I said, no, thank you. I'd rather take my secrets in a much less confusing way. But we went in this room, we sat down. It was just like, some sort of, what I would imagine to be a VIP situation. And then I thought to myself, man, I wish I could be a VIP. Like, Night at the Museum would be cool because the creatures came to life. But I said, even if they didn't, I would love, and I guess probably maybe more my drinking days would be even better, to be able to, like, pass out inside of a diorama. And I said, it's probably been in a couple movies before, but I said, that would be, sweet, or just to be alone in a museum drunk. I guess up until the podcast put me to sleep, that was what I was shooting for, my bucket list there. And I guess it may be less fun to be in a museum after dark without anything coming to life or clear-headed. But I still said, geez, at least I didn't climb into any of the dioramas. I said, what would have happened? And he said, don't worry, nothing, Germ. And he said, so what did you think? And I said, ooh, boy, I said, that was so art. I said, was that art? I said, you're way ahead of your time down here with your art. And he said, that wasn't art, Germ. And the lady whisper said, Germ, it's different than dream interpretation because you are not everything in the dream. Everything's outside of you. And for some reason, they just clicked. And my free association brain said, okay, so the first thing with sand art, I said, I kind of got that. You were interpreting the different... I said, that was more math-based. So I said, you must be good at math. But I said, I see how you could gather some stuff about us. And I said, especially since the sand was shifting. And he said, yeah, mostly it just tells me, And I said, yeah, okay, I got you. And he said, the next one was all dark. I said, that, we don't know. And I said, I got a bad feeling about that one. And he said, well, I don't think there's any reason for concern because it's only the second one. I think it's the unknown if we don't follow the next ones. And I said, the third one, I said, are you in there, Monty? He said, yeah. And I said, so you were a hero at some point defending these people. I said, you've done battle with the gods. And he said, I have. And I said, I did it once, but you've done it many more times than once. Like, and that's what was played out in there, huh? And I said, you're worn down from having these guys that you guys are always battling with. That's why you're so weary. And I said, at some point you fell in love with one of the gods, didn't you? And he said, yes. And I said, Lady Witchbeard, Marina's a god, or a goddess. And I don't mean, And she said, okay, Germ, you've said enough. And she seemed pretty impressed for the first time at my... And I said, you've been looking for a way to end this the status quo with you and the gods of offering sacrifices and then occasionally having to do battle, a great hero. And he said, well, just a hero. And I said, okay, well, a hero having to do battle with the gods. And I said, you're probably missing the... And he said, anyway, keep going, Germ. He said, I don't need your analysis about our belief system. He didn't actually say that. I said, well, I want to keep religion out of this. But unavoidable in some sense. And I said, okay, so you're tired of battling with these guys. And I said, and then the next one, he said, you told me what it was, the pyramid. And I said, that woman dreaming was the gods? And he said, correct, Germ. He said, you're not, he goes, maybe that, he said, maybe that pea green band was wrong about you, sand. that was where your brain was supposed to be. And I said, that's my gobbledygook part of my brain. Don't worry. It was accurate. And I said, that's what, you know, makes this, that's where, you know, Jung works his magic in there. And I said, not everyone could have a giant mass of gobbledygook in there. I'm lucky once, occasionally. And I said, so the gods are going to be, this pyramid's going to repulse the gods. Or I said, no, no, no. I said, deter the gods? And he said, germ. And I said, okay, okay. And I said, and then this last one. This last one, and as I said, that it started to rain inside our buffet. Weather, you know, I said, is there weather in here? And he said, it's the gods, germ. He said, you're on to something. And I said, are they, he said, they're angry gods. And I said, clearly they're angry gods. I said, I hope I can be heard with all this racket. And I said, okay, this last one, these guys aren't happy, huh, with the rain, indoor rain. I said, but he said, you don't want to destroy it. He said, so it's a deterrent, so you're not going to use the pyramid because that would destroy the gods or something. And he's like, yeah, we're on, he goes, I'm not sure. I said, but it would channel the magic of the world and, you know, shoot it up to the gods in an aggressive manner. That's what, and he said, yes, germ. And I said, a little bit of playing God, huh? And he said, well, more, you know, and I said, no judgment. I'm just, you know, and I said, but you, the gift giving, you've been giving these gifts to the gods. And you made a deal with the gods, kind of. And he said, I think so. And I said, well, who do you think so? And he said, well, I have the deterrent, so I don't, and I said, oh, okay. I said, you didn't give the gods an ultimatum, did you? And he said, no, just strong options. And he said, so you offer, they want a Cortez. He said, Cortez is the big wily gift you're giving to the gods. And he said, yeah, germ. And I said, don't try to explain it to me, but I said, you know. And I said, have you thought about the fact that Cortez is the one that could be in the darkness, the deep sea fish waiting to, like, he might be the lure for, they said, you get what I'm saying? He said, no. I said, what if by bringing Cortez here, he said, he could be, cause your downfall. And I said, he's got his own guy. I said, are you sure your guy, I said, is this some sort of guy, inner god battle? And he said, I don't know, germ. And I said, if you bring Cortez here, it's going to cost you everything. And he said, well, I have no choice, germ. He goes, and then Lady Witchbeard went tense, and she said, he has no choice, germ. I said, yeah, because if you activate the pyramid, it's going to launch all the magic, like, it'll be gone or discharge or something. And he said, actually, I have no idea. I haven't seen any secret. He said, I just see a great power. And then Lady Witchbeard kind of grabbed my arm, and I said, okay, well, we can't. And I said, and if the pyramid's destroyed, if it's charged up and destroyed or something, I said, that's not going to be good for the magic either. I guess, see, you got to stop building this pyramid. And he said, I can't do that, germ. And I said, well, if we get Cortez to the gods without bringing him here, you know, what if I do it? I'll get Cortez to the gods. I said, I don't understand how I'm going to do it or what I'm even getting myself into. But I can tell you, Mate, you bring Cortez here, it's all over. He's either going to, I don't know if he's going to trick you. I don't know how it worked. You know Marina's with him. And I saw him, he picked up his plate. walked in the hall, threw it into some other thing we hadn't seen, you know, some other diorama, probably Marina and Cortez, you know, whatever, something that could be interpreted. And then he sat back down and tried to act calm. And I said, "Don't worry, Monte." I said, "Please just give me a chance. I'll get Cortez to the gods." And Lady Witchbeard stood up, pounded her fists on the table, not loudly. And she said, we'll deal with the gods, Manta." And I said, "Well, it's Monte, Monte, Manta." And she said, "German Eye will take Hernan, and we will deal with your gods." And she said, "Jeremy, we already know two of them." And I said, "Well, she's ghost." And she said, "You will cease building this pyramid." And once again, Lady Witchbeard took command. And she looked at this guy. And he wasn't afraid of her. But he was, you know what I mean? He was not scared of her. I guess he was afraid of her. Because he was an authority figure. And he hadn't been alpha'd. He had been... It was almost like Lady Witchbeard brought so much confidence and security to her statement that he knew he could trust her. And I said, "Just give us a little bit of time. Stop building the pyramid." And I said, "Stop." And Lady Witchbeard said, "You'll cease with two stones left." And he said, "All right, he said, "That's not much more." And she said, "We leave in the morning, Germ." And I said, "Yes, Lady Witchbeard. Yes, Buckler of Swaz." And I said, "All right, dude." And he said, "Well, let's finish dinner, you know, great dessert." And I said, "Okay." So we had a lovely dinner. But this is a good place to stop. Lady Witchbeard, I guess, and I are off to remissioned, I guess. We're on the same mission. Well, Lady Witchbeard's on the same mission. And now we're back in mission alignment, maybe. So we'll see what happens next week. I'm glad you're here. The gods, they kind of sound angry all around me right now with this rain and wind. They didn't want me to tell you that part of the tale. All right, I'll see you next week.